Welcome to Let's Get To, your tour of America through the lens of minor league baseball. Baseball from sea to shining sea. And now, the first pitch. Opening thoughts from James Christopher.
And welcome to the 200th episode of Let's Get To. That's right, from 1 to 199. And here we are, number 200. And that, my friends, is what a degree at the University of Texas at Austin will get you. Now, the theme of this episode will be thankfulness. I started this show for a lot of reasons, one of which I really needed a creative outlet. I really needed something to focus creative energy because I'd kind of stopped making independent films. I felt like I had taken that journey to its natural conclusion. And it's almost like I went home. Baseball is and has always been my first love. And I remind my wife of that often, mostly because I'm kidding and I'm fun to live with. But baseball has been my first love. I grew up at the Astrodome. Those of you who follow us, listen to the show, have had a brief 5-second conversation with me know that I love the Houston Astros. And I was kind of vaguely aware that minor league baseball existed, in as much as I had seen Bull Durham and I knew that players must have come from somewhere. That was the beginning and end of my knowledge. My connection with the sport began in the year 2000 when my wife and I went to a San Antonio Missions game. That's the team she grew up watching. That's where she ended up going. And there I connected with what it meant, the culture of it, the just the spirit of that level of the sport that really grabbed me. Now, I'd been to a few Oklahoma City Redhawks games when I was stationed at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, but I didn't really connect with it as a sport or as a thing until the year 2000, when I went to a San Antonio Missions game with my wife. And there it was, I was grabbed by all of it. And only 18 years later did I go to my next foreign minor league baseball game, not the Round Rock Express or Corpus Christi Hooks. And that's when Scott McIntyre went to a Tulsa Drillers game. And that's where it really started, where I felt like this was a story that needed telling. I felt like Chewie when he and Han walked onto the Falcon. They were home. I was home. It was something that kind of stuck in my mind for the next 4 or 5 months until we started the show and had our first episode. Now, one of the things we've always focused on with this show is evolution, making it better. You know, it started as just a podcast. And then for some reason, I thought I should use my expertise in visual storytelling somewhere around the middle of season 3. I'm not always the smartest guy when it comes to things, but we've always wanted to evolve the show. We've always wanted to make it better. We've always wanted to make it more appealing to a wider audience and also focus our storytelling and just plain get better. To quote Tom Callahan, you're either growing or you're dying. There ain't no third direction. Also to quote Tom Callahan, you get a really good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a bull's ass, but I'd rather take the butcher's word for it. We are officially off the rails on the episode.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
What? The show has become stress relief for me. It has become something to look forward to every trip, even just planning where we're going the next year, which we'll reveal in a couple of episodes. It takes my mind off of the other things, off of teaching, off of, you know, the state of the government, all those things that I probably pay too much attention to. It really does a nice job of providing me a break from that stuff. And the other thing that I'm very open about on the show is having been a veteran. And the other thing that this show has brought me is an opportunity to see the country through a lens I probably wouldn't have seen anywhere else. I mean, I'm not going to head to Spearfish, South Dakota just because of it, just because it's there. I'm going to go to see a baseball game. And while I'm there, I'm going to experience the culture, experience the community. And it's become a really beautiful thing that I'm just super excited to, again, increase my knowledge of what this country is really all about. I always compare it to those episodes of Captain America where he would like ride a motorcycle around the country to see. No, I'm losing you. Okay. Well, trust me, it's a thing he did. And I'm not comparing myself to Captain America. Exactly. But one of the other things that comes with evolution is also being open to what does and doesn't work. And I'll do a shout out to one of my very best friends who isn't into baseball. He kind of tangentially knows it exists. And But I've known him since my film career. He's always been really good with open with criticism and letting me know what he thinks does and doesn't work. And one of the things he was thinking about when we were really aiming to turn this into an actual TV show was it needed something to jump in with. We usually had a sort of a 45-second opening montage of things featuring music by some of our favorite artists like Grace Usselman and Andy Bertelsen and folks like that. But for him, someone who just wants to watch the show but doesn't necessarily love baseball, he felt like it was hard to get into. So he came up with the idea of doing the cold opens. Now, cold opens are not new. 007 is famous for them. No, I'm not comparing myself to 007 either. I'm probably more 007 than yeah, okay. And Saturday Night Live, which is probably where I fit better, I guess. I've got a little Horatio Sands thing going on. But we felt like it would be a fun way to jump into the episode and allow me to be a little silly, have a little creativity. And so I wanted to share with you some of my favorite cold opens. So our first cold open on the list is in many ways the first fun cold open we ever did. We were out visiting our friends in O'Fallon, home of your O'Fallon Hoots, and David Schmall, the GM, offered me the chance to go up into the manual scoreboard.
What do you say we do a baseball show? Hi, I'm James Christopher, and I'm coming to you from O'Fallon, Missouri at CarShield Field, home of your O'Fallon Hoots. We got a great show for you today. We're going to be all over minor league baseball, so stay with us because this is Let's Get To.
One of the teams I've wanted to visit ever since we started the show was the Rocky Mountain Vibes. We had that chance this summer, and that meant s'mores everywhere.
A baseball team where they want you to eat the mascot? I'm in.
It's so good when it hits your lips. So good. ASMR.
One of the best things about minor league baseball is the alternative brands having some fun with meshing pop culture and baseball. One of my absolute favorites came from the Atlantic League, where they had Dodgeball Night, which meant it was time for the average Joes to play Globo Gym. And we were honored to have White Goodman on the show. I'm your host, James Christopher, and we have a very special co-host today. He is the captain of the Globo Gym Purple Cobras, runner-up in the National Dodgeball Tournament, Mr. White Goodman.
Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
I told you I'm James Christopher, not LaFleur.
No, I told you that.
No, but I just told you that.
But I just said it.
But it's what I said.
Touché.
Anyway, I think you're going to absolutely love this episode.
Yeah, well, Joni loves Chachi. But are you ready for the woo? Hurricane, wind surge, hurricanes are made of wind. I read it once in a book.
I'm a history guy. I'm a child of the 90s. So when you're in Bill Clinton's hometown, you make a Bill Clinton joke. Now, before this episode, let's get to, I want to get one thing straight. I did not have baseball relations with that possum. We did this one for Thanksgiving. It was Quint's first Thanksgiving. What's better than a puppy? And I was very thankful to have her.
Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe.
Quint wants to know, what are you thankful for? And one of the most important moments of our show was the opportunity to get to stay in the Field of Dreams house. It was moving, it was emotional, and Jessica came up with a fun idea to open up the episode.
Jim found himself on that magical field, the one that will give you your childhood dreams back, until he heard a calling. Now he's faced with the choice: stay and live his dream, or follow his destiny and step over the line. If you record it, they will watch.
One of our favorite times at the ballpark was the trip Scott, Andy, and I made to Bowling Green, and it was Halloween night, and that allowed Scott to bust out his Will Ferrell impersonating Harry Carey impression.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes...
It is Halloween weekend. That's right. It is one of my favorite holidays of all time. And this is a special holiday episode of Let's Get To. We're in Bowling Green, home of the Hot Rods, for their Halloween night. And, I mean, what better way to celebrate one of the best holidays than not just the crack of the bat, but with the crack of the vampire bat. That's right. Halloween is here. And we're also ready to answer one of the world's most unanswerable questions.
Hi! If you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself? I know I would. I'd smother myself in relish. It'd be delicious.
Stay with us.
Now, it wasn't just the cold opens that allowed us to have a little bit of fun. We actually can use our closing segment to do that. And we had a great time last season at the Jersey Shore Blue Claws and had an amazing time shooting this closing segment.
So that does wrap up this episode of Let's Get To. I want to thank everyone at the Jersey Shore Blue Claws for showing us a great time. I'm out here on the putting green, just taking in a wonderful Jersey evening. If you're anywhere in the area, get out to this ballpark. You owe it to yourself. We have a few weeks of baseball season left. And that's right, just a few weeks of baseball season left. So make sure you get to some baseball, because come October like 4th or 5th, you're going to miss minor league baseball. So get out, get you some peanuts, get you some Cracker Jack, and most importantly, let's get to James on the approach.
But this is not the end of the show. It's in fact just the beginning. We've got a lot of fun coming your way, including hearing from some of our favorite members of the minor league baseball community. And we're going to talk to a student of mine who is a young guy who likes baseball, which baseball seems to not know how to appeal to those people. So we're going to find out why. And we interrupt this regular scheduled broadcast to hear from some of the members of our Let's Get To family.
Hey guys, this is Scott Magendar from Let's Get To. So as we approach this 200th episode and we're around Thanksgiving, and what am I thankful for in relation to the Let's Get To show? Well, the first thing that I'm thankful for, and it'll always be number one on the list, is that Jim and I chose to go see a Tulsa Drillers game when it was 107 degrees some 5-6 years ago. And to watch Jim's wheels turn as we started talking about what this might be, and we're bouncing things off of each other, just very rudimentary ideas that have turned into something really amazing that I'm proud to be part of. So that's always going to be number one on my list. That's a given.
Happy 200 episodes to the entire Let's Get To team. Y'all are an inspiration to all of the content creators in the baseball space. Thank you for highlighting the best parts of minor league baseball. Please keep it up. Here's to at least 200 more.
Hey, Jim. Eric Schmidt with the Spearfish Sasquatch here, located in our brand new store here in Spearfish, South Dakota. We just wanted to reach out and say congrats on the 200th episode. We appreciate all you do for this awesome sport, and including us over the last few years. We were happy to be nominated and winning 4 Dotties this year. Congrats again on the milestone, and we look forward to another 200 episodes.
The Keene Swamp Bats, we are so proud to be part of Let's Get To and James' upcoming 200th anniversary podcast. We knew James was the real deal when he and his wife showed up at Alumni Field in Keene, New Hampshire, in the middle of our summer this past season, unannounced. He was everywhere. Pictures, videos, engaging with the fans. You know, you thought he was our mascot. It really speaks the authenticity of James and Let's Get To the podcast. He knows what's going on in the baseball world. It doesn't matter if one day he's talking about who Bowling Green just recruited, and the next game day that the Swamp Bats are on a 10-game winning streak. When I tune in to Let's Get To, what I love about the podcast, I always feel like James is speaking directly to me.
James, Anthony Turnstile here. Congratulations on your 200th episode of Let's Get To. Awesome show. Appreciate you so much spreading the gospel around the small towns of America, the minor league clubs, collegiate league clubs, especially when you came to visit Seguin. We appreciate you. You're doing great work. We're enjoying the show, so keep it up. Here's the 200 more, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Congratulations, 200 episodes. Dutch Chattahoochee here. I really appreciate your work. The interviews are great. I love seeing people on a personal level outside of their baseball life. That's always awesome. You always find out new things that you didn't know before. So that's keep on doing what you do. And here's a 200 more.
Wow, 200 episodes. What an accomplishment. And over here in baseball, we think 132 games is an accomplishment. But seriously, James and the guys at Let's Get To, congratulations. 200 episodes is absolutely amazing. You guys do an incredible amount of work for our industry, and you guys showcase some of the best things here in minor league baseball. So thanks so much for all you guys do. And I can't wait to see the 400th episode and beyond, because I'm sure you guys are going to continue doing this for a long, long time.
Wow, Jim, 200 episodes. Congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment. I appreciate you including me in episode 9 this season when you were here in Columbia with the Fireflies. And just want to say, these shows you do about the teams and the cities, that's the thing. It's not just about the team. It's about the community. It's about the city that you're in, extra things to see. You bring in people that aren't even related necessarily to the baseball team and give you a sense of the whole community and why the teams are what they are based on the community that they're in. Great chance for me to see some stadiums that I've never seen. Hopefully I'll get a chance to travel to a lot of these. Just a lot of great information. You did a great job here in Columbia with the Fireflies and everything about Columbia. And again, I just enjoyed chugging a beer with you and being a part of your episodes. And again, congratulations on 200 episodes. Quite an accomplishment.
Hey, James, it's Paul Caputo of the Baseball by Design podcast and also correspondent with your Let's Get To the Show. Congratulations on 200 episodes. What an amazing ride this has been for you. I can personally vouch for how much time and effort goes into every one of these shows, because I had the privilege of getting to spend a doubleheader with you at our Rocky Mountain Vibes game. And I got to see all the behind the scenes things that you do to make one of these shows happen. It's incredible to watch. I love what you do for minor league baseball fans. I love what you do for the sport of baseball. I love the positive energy that you bring. I love everything about this show. I love getting to be a part of it. I love you, man, because you're just one of the good ones. You're one of the good ones. Even though my Phillies lost, I loved sharing the World Series with you this year and texting during all the games. I am just so impressed with everything that you do. And again, proud to be a part of it. Proud to call you a friend. Congratulations on 200 episodes. I'm proud to be sporting this t-shirt, man. Congratulations.
Hey, Let's Get To listeners and viewers. Andrew Nelson here. Thanks for being with us on another great season, and hope you stay with us in 2023.
Not 100, but 200 episodes. That is pretty incredible. thank you, Jim, and congratulations. Thank you for letting me be a part of this podcast. I love it. I love watching it. I mean, what's better than sitting around and talking about baseball? I hope everyone enjoys this podcast as much as I do. And for all those baseball lovers out there, let's get season going already, huh? But yeah, truly just I wish for everyone to enjoy baseball as much as, you know, we do. And it truly is America's greatest sport for a reason.
Hey, James and everybody else at Let's Get To, congratulations on your Let's Get 200th episode of the show. This is Keith Rad, broadcaster and account executive for the Brooklyn Cyclones. What I love most about your show is that it is bringing a spotlight to minor league baseball. Boots on the ground, by the way. Bringing camera equipment, bringing all the good stuff, so make sure you capture every nook and cranny of what life is like in all the different places that you go. I think there's a lot of weird, quirky, but so much passion, so much fun, and all the people that you talk to and that you meet, that that's what I love most about the Let's Get To show.
Oh my God, 200. You're old, dude. Congratulations. You're still old. That's 200. Like, it's a lot, right? All right. Old joking aside, congratulations on 200 episodes. That's a awesome achievement. Love you guys. The show is amazing. Keep it going, okay? Because you guys are doing great things.
Hey, this is Eric the Peanut Guy with the Tri-City Dust Devils. And I want to say happy 200th episode to my good friends with the Let's Get To show, the Let's Get To podcast. You know, I started out just as a loyal fan and a friend of the Let's Get To community. And now I'm honored to say that I get to serve as a co-producer of the show. I first learned about the Let's Get To podcast when I was traveling around the country visiting different ballparks, and people kept bringing this up. Have you heard of Let's Get To? And I'm like, what? No. And then I finally got to meet Jim over the phone right when the pandemic was hitting, right when things started shutting down. And so through that dark time, Let's Get To and the great interviews that Jim has, the great cast of characters on the show, all the friends of the minor league baseball community, it really got me through, honestly, really got me through that first wave of the COVID pandemic. And then especially every off season, as Jim calls the void of months and months without baseball, Let's Get To gets me through. So I want to thank all the great people who've worked on the show from day one. And now I want to thank, as a co-producer, I want to thank all the fans and friends who keep tuning in every week, whether on YouTube or audio podcasts. We love you. I'm so honored to have you a part of this community.
Happy 200th episode and Merry Christmas to Let's Get To from the Rocky Mountain Vibes.
Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Jess Canaster. I've been a part of Let's Get To for a couple years, and I'm thankful to be a part of a show that focuses on what it's like to be a fan of baseball, what it's like to go to games and to smell and see and hear everything around and experience what it's like to be in a ballpark. I can obviously read ad nauseum what it's like to be a player and the goings on with the players on and off the field, and not as many opportunities to learn about the fans and learn about what it's like to be a fan. And so in this moment, as we approach 200 episodes and crest that milestone, I'm thankful for the fans of this show, the people who want to find out what it's like to go to a game in any random city and how it differs from everywhere else, because it is different everywhere you go. And I'm thankful to be a small part of telling that story. And I'm more thankful for the people who are interested in hearing it. So thank you for however many episodes you've been watching. I know I've been thankful to be a part of it for as long as I have. And let's get 200 more.
Once the show has started, what am I most thankful for? Now, I think it's been the camaraderie of the guys together whenever we're on a trip. You know, getting to go to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin with Andrew Nelson and Jim Christopher was great. Getting to go with Jim and Jess to Traverse City this year was great. But both of those places are amazing. The Bowling Green trip for me with Jim and Andy and I, Andy Tom Chesson, and getting the three of us there, and what you don't see behind the scenes are the text messages that Andy and Jim are sending me as they're driving up from Nashville after their plane landed, and had me completely thinking that they were having terrible car trouble and that Jim was engaged in some terrible argument with an airport gate agent. This is an absolutely true story, by the way. But that's a blast. That's the way people bond together. Are through moments like that, getting to see the city of Bowling Green and the Dueling Grounds Distillery with Lincoln Pitch, whiskey and bourbon, and all of the stories that went along with that. Bowling Green will always stand out in my mind. But those trips and getting to meet people, we have a lot to be thankful for as part of this show, and that's my biggest thing. So just remember, guys, if there's a runner on first, let's get two.
Ladies and gentlemen, please adjust your scorecards. We have a special guest in the lineup.
So we're excited to welcome to Let's Get To Brady Hess, who has the fortunate experience of being one of my broadcasting students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Great class.
Great class. baseball player?
Yes.
What position?
I mostly play center field, right field. Used to be an infielder, but I enjoy outfield more.
You know, they have a center fielder need down in Houston. Anyway, that's not what this is. You're also a fan, and you're a fan of who?
The Giants, San Francisco Giants.
How
grew
did
up
that?
In the Bay.
Okay.
That was.
Oh, you grew up in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's my dad's team. It's just always been. I just love the Giants. Great stadium, great atmosphere there.
Why? So that's why. Because don't you have a brother that likes Oakland?
Yes. Yeah,
so how'd that happen?
So we grew up kind of between Oakland and San Francisco, and we were kind of both given the choice. I chose the Giants. He chose the A's. And honestly, the reason I chose the Giants was because 2010, I was 5 years old. That's when I first really started getting into baseball. And obviously, they won it that year. And so I kind of fell in love with them. I do remember, though, our first Giants A's game we went to. It's tied in the bottom of the ninth, and Derek Norris comes up and hits a walk-off home run to beat the Giants. And I just remember crying out of the stadium because my brother was talking so much trash. It was awful.
Yeah, that's the absolute worst when you have a relationship that's doing that.
And then I have uncles. I have an uncle that's a Dodgers fan. Grandma's a Dodgers fan. It's difficult. It's difficult being a Giants fan.
Except you had those 3 years.
I did. Yeah, that's true. I had those 3 years.
And what a run that, because it was weird, because it wasn't like 3 years, didn't make the playoff three.
It was the weirdest thing. And then they made it back in 2016 in the playoffs as a wild card team. I thought they were going to run through the playoffs, but then the Cubs. But yeah, it was a weird dynasty.
You're one of the most educated baseball fans of anybody I know. I mean, you know every player on every team. Like, you can speak intelligently. How do you absorb all this information?
Well, honestly, I play MLB The Show a lot, the video game.
Okay.
And because I love baseball, and I think that game's fun. And as I play a lot, I come up with more and more players. And then I play fantasy baseball, so I get more players that way. Even, like, social media, too. For example, I'll watch a Giants game, and Jack Sawinski hits 3 homers, and now I know who he is. He's on the Pirates, and he's an outfielder just because of that one game. And so I remember him, and I'm always going to know Jack Sawinski for some reason.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're the only person who knows he is outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
What is right about the game now?
I think there's a lot of things right. I think there is a lack of appreciation for what is right about the game. So, for example, if you're watching a football game and there's a minute left and it's a 17-point game, the teams just run out the clock and they call it a game.
Right.
Whereas in a baseball game, if it's a 7-run game in the ninth, you still have to throw a strike and still give the hitter their chance. And I think that's what's cool, is there's no running clock. You can't run out the time, and you have to give the other person their opportunity to make something happen. I think that's what's great for baseball, and I think that we kind of lack an appreciation towards that idea.
Ask Robbie Ray.
Yeah. Yes. Ask Robbie Ray. Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we get to kind of the crux of this conversation, a lot of new rules starting next year, banning of the shift, bigger bases. What do you like? What works for you? And then what doesn't?
I like the increasing of the size of the bases, because I think stolen bases should be brought back. You could turn a walk into a double. I think that's really valuable. Like, you'll see stats about Ricky Henderson and what he would do and steal 40 bags in April, and you don't even see 40 bags anymore at all.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see those anymore.
Yeah.
But the shift, I kind of wish they kept the shift, because I just think, why are you helping guys like Joey Gallo? Like, why? I mean, you could see—
I swear, fans, we did not prep him on any of these answers. It's a very Scott McIntyre answer, but this was not pre-planned.
Why not? Because when you grow up and you're playing baseball, or at least for me, the main art I'm taught, whether you're hitting off a tee or hitting live BP, you're always taught hit the ball the other way. And I think in game, I don't know why, but hitters just seem to lose that art. And I think that if you just learn to hit the ball the other way, you have a free hit every time. You don't even have to hit it hard.
Yeah.
You just hit a chopper to third and you have a base hit, maybe a double. And you can see bunt doubles. And I think shift was fine for baseball. And I don't think guys like Joey Gallo should just be benefited for really no reason, just because he can only pull the ball. I don't think that's fair.
Okay, so the baseball fandom right now, it's getting older, and players are getting whiter outside of the Latin America. Let's talk about the older thing. We hear all these things about how to appeal to younger audiences versus we need to make the game faster.
Yeah.
As a young guy who really likes it, like, where do you sit on some of those ideas? And
I think it's honestly ridiculous. I don't think baseball needs to be sped up. I think it's cool that you can go to a ball game and it's a relaxing experience and you can get food, hot dogs. I think baseball is a great experience, but also I think part of the problem is, I think there's kind of dumb arguments that happen. Like, for example, I hear people talk about Babe Ruth and how he would be terrible in today's game. And I think that's ridiculous. It's like, I don't care. He changed baseball. He changed baseball forever. Or Judge's season this year, instead of people appreciating how good it was, all you ever hear was, oh, is he the real home run king? Or did Bonds cheat and all of this? And I think that's not fair, because those are the guys that saved baseball and honestly made it what it was today. Because Babe Ruth kind of invented the home run. And then Bonds, Sosa, McGuire saved baseball in the 90s. So I think we should appreciate the history that it has, because it obviously goes back further than football and basketball. And I think that history is really important.
Okay, so how can we convince a younger generation that this game is worth watching? I was telling you before we went on camera that one of my students says there's too many games, which
I think the difficulty of it needs to be brought up more. Because when you talk about, like, the Warriors, the best basketball team ever, won 73-9. Now in MLB, if a team has 73 wins, they'll have 40 losses and be the best record in baseball. Because I think baseball is more random. And that's why you see teams every year, pretty much. Like the Phillies this year, Nationals in 19. You see teams get hot, and the playoffs are so random, even though it's a series. And I think the series could actually make things harder on the MLB. Because, for example, if in football, every playoff game is just one game.
Right.
And the loser's out, winner goes on. Whereas in baseball, people will be like, oh, it's just game one. Like the Phillies won game one.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. And I think that's kind of what sets people off, because like, oh, I don't need to watch this game. It's not going to change much. But I think it's really cool, because I think baseball is more random. Plus the process of getting to the big leagues is like no other. And I think that there's a lack of appreciation. Like it was Mark Appel on the Phillies, had his major league debut at 31 years old or something like that.
Yeah, he was drafted by Houston and had an injury. And
he was in the minors for like 9 years and he had his MLB debut.
He was not only that, he was in and out of baseball in that.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's
yeah.
an amazing story that
yeah,
nobody talked about.
Exactly. I think the difficulty needs to be embraced more of baseball. Because if you put it, like, for example, if you put an average person in against Jacob DeGrom, they're going to strike out 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's just, yeah. It's.
I might lean in like Yuli Gurriel. No, it was Diaz who tried to do it, right? Yeah. Is there anything like, because we're in a sports broadcasting class, obviously, and I think only like four of y'all are straight up baseball fans. Mm. So let's say one of the ones who isn't, and I'll pick on Malachi because I love that kid. What if he walks in and he's like, tell me why, if when I go to a baseball one game, what do I look for that's cool that I can get behind as far as this is a good game to watch?
It might be kind of cliche, but I think the size is really cool. Like, you see the picture with Altuve and Judge next to each other, and those are two MVPs. I think that's something you don't see in, like, basketball. Everybody needs to be tall.
Yeah,
you can't really have someone small.
A short guy, 6'4".
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if there is a short guy that's a star, you hear about him the rest of the time. I think the size difference is cool, and I think the mental side of it as well. Because when you're a hitter and you go in there sitting 100 mile per hour fastball and you guess wrong, you're done. You don't stand a chance. And I think it's mentally hard because you fail 7 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
You need more mental strength to play that game than any other sport, I think. And I think the failures is what is really cool about it.
You know, it's funny you brought that up too, because I think one of the best ways I've heard it described was actually in the movie Moneyball, when, you know, the sort of Jonah Hill amalgam character is talking about like a hand of blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you get ball one, your whole at-bat changes. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so being
absolutely.
Able to mm-hmm. look at that game within the game really does make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like you'll see stats for hitters on a 1-0 count versus an 0-1 count, and the average is like 100 points lower. It's incredible. So every pitch changes the whole at-bat, changes the whole game, and I think people don't really take that into consideration when they're watching baseball.
Well, we're going to wrap up here, but you know, give me a peek into St. Michael's Crusader baseball this year. Usually a pretty strong team. Regular season starts in about 2 months.
Yep.
What do we think?
I think we're pretty good. I think we can win districts, but... don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll
and
see.
And after
it'll
that,
be
baseball gets real random. Even,
yeah,
I mean, even
yes.
more at the cause of, all right, yeah. Brady, well, thanks so much for being on Let's Get To.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, please adjust your scorecards. We have a special guest in the lineup.
And we are back here. It's now a Thanksgiving episode. We put the 200 episode behind us by a couple of seconds. We've got who will be the 2023 production team. And I thought it's Thanksgiving. We should talk about what we're thankful from this past season, but I will have to start with Scott McIntyre's message to you guys. He's thankful you don't have to work because he's worked 58 hours this week.
Ugh.
Yeah. He called me like freaked out. Like I can't be at the meeting. So I could tell he was exasperated. And he's the most positive guy I know. So he was definitely exasperated. So he's thankful that y'all don't have to feel that way.
Oh, it's nice.
That's sweet.
Sad for him, but
we're gonna start with Mr. Nelson, who's probably still struggling with some jet lag and might even forget that a baseball season happened. First of all, how was London, my friend?
Oh, London was great. I got to go to two different soccer games, and we went to a play and did a whole bunch of stuff, and went whiskey tasting up in Scotland and saw some friends up there. It's a good time.
G'day, mate.
No, it's
put another shrimp on the Bobby.
No, what they say is doing all right. Yeah. Hey, you doing all right?
Before we get to your thing, did you get a chance to do the Jack the Ripper tour?
No, we didn't. I mean, there was so just good. A lot of stuff we couldn't do. It takes a lot of time to get around, and we had to kind of pick and choose. But I went to the Imperial War Museum, which I really wanted to do. That took like a lot more time than I expected it to. And
yeah, he went to the Imperial War Museum. Not a single stormtrooper. I don't understand.
Disappointed.
No, not even in the video game section that they had right now.
But. These soldiers could actually hit their targets. So
fingers open at least.
All right, Andrew, what is one thing from this baseball season that you've been that you were thankful for?
It's so hard to narrow.
Oh, Andrew Nelson, sir.
Oh, that one, just itching for my turn to talk.
It's coming.
The thing I'm thankful for from this baseball season is that my baseball team's ownership and management is trying.
Oh.
We had an absolute crap season the year before, finishing in last place in the worst division. And we improved this season. And we made big signings and big trades. And everybody got injured, so there isn't much you can do about that. But my team's trying, and that's more than I could say for them a lot of other points in my baseball history.
Frankly, it's more than you can say about half the teams right now in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's the part of the issue, right? Sure. Mr. Tom Chesson.
I mean, it's so hard to narrow it down to one thing. The obvious is too easy. So I'm going to go with I am thankful that the AAA franchise of the Houston Astros had a really, really successful rebrand. The Space Cowboys could have gone completely off the rails and gotten nutty. But I think what they did instead was bring some of the freshest, most modern uniforms and branding that I've seen from a minor league baseball team in a really long time. They resisted the urge to go brandiose and do a thing holding another thing. and nothing wrong with that if that's your that's your deal, because there's some really good brands. But I'm just really, really happy, I guess, with another outlet for me to spend my fan money.
Yeah,
it gets bad. I know we're gonna get to Eric in a second, but it gets bad. Like, I've got two or three teams that will text me before something drops. Like, hey, like the Durham Bulls and the Hooks will text me, hey, just letting you know, New Jersey tomorrow.
Did you say that Erie Seawolves do the same thing?
The Erie Seawolves is the other one. Yeah, they're
lucky.
That's called GM. Industry contacts, Jim.
Yeah. I assumed you were a shareholder with the Hooks the way they messaged you.
All they told me was, in fact, I got it for my contact, and here we could break some news. All he texted me was, new Blue Ghosts look.
Ooh, breaking news.
They're going to freshen that up. Eric, one of the most positive guys I've ever met. What was one thing you were thankful for this season?
Well, I'm thankful you said that, because I'm having a work week as well. Not as bad as Scott maybe's, but... thankful for the amazing facial hair on this Zoom call right now. Sorry, Jessica, but everyone else looking...
It's all good.
This is great.
Are y'all doing No Shave November? Is that what's happening, or is this normal?
I start growing mine out in November every year. All right. So yeah,
looks good.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank
you. Andrew, tell Eric what I texted you yesterday.
Jim texted me with some mustache envy the other day.
Oh,
I told him he shouldn't have been, because his Tom Selleck look was on point when he was doing that.
Oh, man, I've missed that. I want to see that. Hey, if Jessica is on board, then that's all you need.
That's all you need.
Yeah. Carly doesn't like the stash. I'm on day one of bringing the beard back.
Okay. You know what, though? That's a good look. When you have the full stash and like stubble, that's solid.
It's solid, like,
Because you care, but not really too much. So you're kind of rugged, but still.
Right. The trick is you got to shave your neck.
That's right.
That's when it's not just being lazy.
Yeah.
What was your thankful thing, Eric?
I am thankful, like Andy said, for so many things. But I think September, believe it or not, late September this year,
was the most amazing baseball experience. My beautiful wife, brand new wife, Karina, and I got married at my favorite place in the world, Gisa Stadium, home of the Tri-City Dust Devils, which has been my second home for over 20 years. And they pulled out all the stops. We had the reception when the sun was setting over the baseball field. It was a dream come true. So that was it was after the Dust Devil season. In fact, that's why we scheduled it for September 24th. It was the first Saturday after the regular season. Well, actually, after any potential playoffs. So, but then we immediately went on our honeymoon. And just by happenstance, we're both long-suffering Seattle Mariners fans. And we said, well, let's swing by, catch a Mariners game on the way back from our honeymoon, on the way back home. And it happened to be the game that they clinched a playoff spot for the first time in 21 years. So it was kind of this full circle thing. And yeah, that was great.
Didn't they clinch on a walk-off too? I mean, it was intense,
they
right?
They did. Yeah, yeah, they did. Bottom of the ninth, full count. Pinch hitter, Cal Raleigh, home run. Yeah.
You're going to tell your kids that. That's exactly how you're going to break it down to your kids.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But yeah, married for, I mean, how, I'm assuming you guys look so happy. Everything's good. You guys are
so good. She's amazing. She's over there listening right now. So hi, Karina. She says hi.
Hi, Karina.
I can't wait to meet her in person.
Oh man, we can't wait for that either.
Jess, my lovely wife.
Okay, so I have actually two things I'm super thankful for this baseball season. First and foremost, I'm thankful that the Astros did not need to take it to a game seven because I really love my husband and I don't think he would have survived getting to having to deal with another day of baseball. So
when they went up, Jess, when they went up 1-0, I started to dread, like, how am I going to get through tomorrow? Like, if it.
Yep. Exactly.
I have the text messages to prove that.
So for my husband's health and heart and all of those things, I'm really glad it happened in six games and not seven. Mm-hmm. I am also really grateful that I've had such a successful event season in my work life that it has made it so that the all of those industry contacts that you just mentioned, Andrew Nelson, who keep messaging Jim to let him know that new merch is coming out. And it's good that the event season has been so successful this year because we can support all of the minor league merch purchases that have happened this year.
That's a true story. that is a true, true story. And we have a big season next year too. Obviously we'll get to Let's Get To and what we're doing next year, but Jess and I will be doing two international games next year.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I'm really, really excited about that.
Very excited. And we'll be going, you know, we'll be going with one of my best friends, Cedric's 50th birthday, and we're going to go down to Mexico and see a baseball game. For me, also two things, and I'll do the sort of obvious. I'm thankful for Yordan Alvarez. Like, I'm thankful for that guy beginning and ending essentially the Astros playoff run. However, the other thing I'm thankful for is this was a really fun playoffs, much like last year's World Series was, because it was cool to interact with so many friends of mine, like Eric and I texting through the Seattle thing. And like Paul Caputo and I both thought we were going to lose, like the entire way. It was like, in fact, it was, I think it was game five when he went, all right, congrats on the game and congrats on the World Series. And I was like, and then they brought it within one in the ninth inning. And I was like, oh, please tell me you're still awake. So, so it was fun. I think there's so much negativity surrounding this particular baseball team that, it's fun when I can sort of put that aside with other people and enjoy what is the greatest game ever invented. So that's mine.
That's awesome.
I just want to say I'm thankful for Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, you might need. We need to talk about your infatuation with Jeremy Pena.
Did you? Every other woman in the city of Houston, and most of the state of Texas, at least south of Austin. Did you go through the drive-thru the other day, Jess?
No.
Did you?
Oh,
hear
no.
About
so
that?
Yeah, because we're in Austin, Eric. Jeremy Pena, he worked a Canes drive-thru for a couple of hours.
I went to a Canes yesterday.
Just he wasn't
the
there.
Right one.
Not
no.
The right one.
Dang it! I was and driving home from San Antonio. That would have been.
You would have had
really
to line
cool.
up the night before.
Yeah, exactly.
Get some chicken touched by Jeremy.
So before we end this and this segment of the show, like I said, you guys are all going to be the production team, and You know, for those watching or listening, there's a lot that goes into this show, and we really do start planning it well in advance. And I kind of wanted to ask one more question on the spot. What is one trip or game that you know you're taking that you're looking forward to next season? We'll start with Eric. I know you've already figured things out. So
good question, dude. That's a great question. Okay, so when Andy brought up Sugarland Space Cowboys, that got me thinking, because that Texas is a big option for Krina and me next year. But we haven't solidified that yet, hopefully. Also, though, I've been dying to go see the Glacier Range Riders up in Montana. It's not too far from where we live, relatively. And Karina's favorite place on Earth is Glacier National Park. So, and their ballpark looks amazing. It just looks, oh my gosh. So, hopefully Texas, and for sure Glacier Range Riders.
Yeah, I might have a merch order for you for that one, because that looks that place looks so awesome.
Oh my gosh, yeah, send them my way. I'll get it. I'll get everything you want.
Andrew, how about you? Have you started thinking about that yet?
Well, we just got charged for our Saints tickets, so I know I'll be going there a lot. I'm hoping to get down to Franklin, Wisconsin, and go see the Milwaukee Milkmen next season.
Oh, wow! Yeah,
I wanted to see them. I'm going to be in the area at some point in the summertime, so I'm going to try to coordinate it.
We might have to make it a thing.
I know. I'll let you know.
All right.
How about you, hon, Jessica?
I mean, I am very excited about the possibility. I think it's the Quintana Roo Tigres is the team in Mexico, but I'm actually very excited about the Alaska team. So seeing something in Alaska.
The Anchorage Bucks. Yeah.
I was going to say, do we know what it is yet? I didn't know.
Right now it's either between the Anchorage Bucks or the Peninsula Oilers. And it's going to be one of those two. And I think they play in the same park. So it's, you know, odds are, right? Man. Andy, how about you, brother?
Selfishly, and it's a return trip, but I am looking forward to the April trip I have planned for Nashville with one Mr. James Christopher and the other Scott McIntyre. The last time the three of us went to a baseball game, nothing bad happened. So we're looking to continue that streak. Okay. One ended up in jail. No one.
Although, that funny part about that was we landed in Nashville and drove to Bowling Green, and we played with Scott the whole way. Andy's like, "Hey, Jim is fighting a cop. You need to, you know, like he's getting pulled late." Like, and so Scott was freaking out, and then we just pulled into the Hampton Inn. We're like, "Hey, we're out front."
Was it a cop, or was the conceit that you flipped out at the airport because they messed up your rental car and so they had TSA haul you away or something?
No,
like that?
Remember, because it had transitioned to us getting pulled over and I'd had enough and started arguing with the police officer.
We willingly went into a Taco Bell in the middle of Kentucky.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm glad we made it to the hotel. So much for me next year. I think the Vancouver Canadians, I've always sort of been very fascinated with Vancouver. So, you know, and I know we're going to have most of the team in Omaha, which I think is going to be fun, but yeah, I think Vancouver, it's a city I've always wanted to go to, and love the fact that I'm going to get to actually see some baseball north of the border.
That's so cool. Are you going to hit Vancouver on the same trip as Alaska?
Yeah.
That's smart. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
You're halfway there. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do like Southwest. Not that anybody needs to know our itinerary. We're gonna do like Southwest there because we can fly for free and then pick up the flight to Canada, to Alaska from there. So
perfect.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, we are gonna get out of here. Thank you to you guys for jumping on. And here is to a great 2023 season of Let's Get To.
To close it out, the right-hander from Houston, Texas, James Christopher.
So that does wrap up the 200th episode of Let's Get To. And again, it's our Thanksgiving episode. I've got the Baseballism Plymouth Gobblers sweatshirt on. I love it when Baseballism gets a little holiday spirity. It's great. Hey, but you know what, guys? Do something for Halloween. That would kill. At least I would definitely buy something. But again, Thanksgiving, and it's another time for me to thank some of the people that have really been integral to making this show what it is. And, you know, we might not have the biggest audience. We might be a little narrow casted, and that's by design, because I feel like the fans we do have, and I mean, our audience is decently sized, but what I love about it is that they're passionate and that they interact. And it clearly feels like that there's a group of people that appreciates what we're doing. And that, frankly, is enough for me. So I did want to take some time to thank some very specific, very special individuals. Again, to some of the people that I've met through the show, some people that have become my very best friends. You saw a lot of them in the segment earlier. Thank you. I know I don't make friends easy, you know, like that's as a thing. I just don't, especially in person for the first time. I'm very awkward. I mean, I'm awkward on this thing, but it's kind of a shtick, right? So to all the people who have grown to be who I consider very close friends, and, you know, I could name a couple. I could name Ed, Paul, Anna, Eric. But then I run the risk of maybe not naming everyone because I'm talking to a camera trying to get this episode finished before school starts. So to anybody who has continued to touch our lives through this show or through this game, thank you. We want to thank you to all the teams this season and in the previous four that have opened up their gates to us, their homes to us. The show wouldn't work if we weren't being given the trust and the access by a lot of these teams to believe that we're going to do a good job, that we're going to represent them well. And so all the teams that have trusted us, that have believed that we can do a good job in representing them, thank you. I'm very thankful to the production team that we have. And, you know, that's Andy, it's Scott, it's Andrew, Jess, Eric, all the people who have given a little bit of themselves to this show. Again, it's such a compliment. It really, it makes me want to work harder. It makes me want to make the show better. And I'm very humbled by the fact that so many people would give up so much of their off time or their own money to travel and join me on these trips. I can't thank them enough. They truly are some of the best people. I'm incredibly thankful for what this game has meant for my grandkids, Braxton and Lulu, and my daughter, Jordan. It has become the cliche of some of our best times are at a ballpark, but some of our best times are at a ballpark. And I was thinking about Jordan took Braxton to a game, a Eugene Emeralds game this year that we couldn't go to. And Braxton talked about how it didn't feel the same without me being there. And, you know, hopefully he'll get over that part and can still enjoy baseball regardless. But obviously it makes me feel incredibly, my heart grows. How about that? And we get to see them actually in about 3 days and I couldn't be more excited. And of course, I wouldn't be the man I am. I wouldn't be doing any of this. I don't think I would have the belief in myself if I didn't have the best partner in the world, my best friend, even though I tell her she's not. Because I don't think a best friend and the love of your life can be the same person. You know, you can't be a general and a colonel. So I tell her Vader's my best friend. But she's the person that I rely on the most. She believes in me way more than I believe in myself. And there's a good chance I would have quit this thing 2 or 3 years ago or 2 or 3 times in the last 4 years or 5 years, 4 years, if it wasn't for her. And so, Jessica, I love you. I get, again, showing up to a ballpark with you and you kind of keeping me together because I've got that giddy thing going on. There's just nothing I wouldn't do for you because there's nothing I could do without you. So again, have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy time with family. Enjoy time relaxing. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the parade if that's your thing. Enjoy watching the Cowboys continue to underperform. Ugh. But remember, on that day, when it comes to cranberries, when it comes to turkey or ham or stuffing or green bean casserole or Shelley's mashed potatoes, when it comes to good food, let's get to. Let's Get Two is presented by Twitchy Dolphin Media. Executive produced by Jessica Bybee Jedgetts. Produced by Andy Tomchesson, Scott McIntyre, and James Christopher. associate producers Andrew Nelson, Timothy Jedgetts, and Jess Canaster. Music by Andy Bertelson, Grace Usselman, and On Holiday. All content created by Let's Get Two is the sole property of Twitchy Dolphin Media. All content created by teams covered in the episode are the sole property of the trademark holders.